I'm reading out of 1 Samuel 23, beginning in verse 15. It says this: while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. You know, today's message comes from a deep conviction I have about our need, my need, to encourage all of you folks to be a part of some small group where we can fight the fight of faith. Now, a couple Sundays ago, I had such a good response to the fight of faith, I thought I would return to the subject. And so our focus today is on strengthening each other's hands in God. Just as Jonathan went out and met David. First of all, we believe the eternal security is a community project. Eternal security of other person's souls is really a community and a church project. That's why we do things like VBS and pet shows and things like that. So we're trying to draw the community in. Yes, we use those events to draw people in, but what we really want to do is establish those relationships with folks, get to know them on a deeper level, and then find out what their needs are. Maybe we can meet some of those needs. And of course, we always have in the back of our mind their spiritual needs, because really that's a universal need. That goes for all of us. We all have a need to be reconciled to the creator of the universe. And the Bible teaches us explicitly how we're supposed to do that. How we have to come in faith to his son Jesus, because Jesus, he was the perfect Lamb of God, right? So we believe that eternal security is a community project. And we also believe that the perseverance of the saints is also a corporate responsibility. In other words, we're in it to win it together. Maybe we could even take an example of yesterday's Detroit Tigers game. It took three pitchers to have the victory. And they all celebrate that. And they haven't had too many victories this year, right? So which when they have one, we all get behind that. They didn't, the three pitchers, none of them allowed a hit, which is, when you think about that, that's quite a miracle in a baseball game. Because what are all those guys up there trying to do with the bat? They're all trying to hit the ball, and they get plenty of opportunities to do that. But they didn't do it yesterday. So the same loving Lord who said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand." That's that eternal security part. We love that. But we combine that also with what Jesus said in Matthew 24 when he says, "He who endures to the end will be saved." So there's the Lord holding us, and there's also our responsibility in enduring to the end. And we shall be saved. The promise is that we shall be saved to be with God in heaven forever, in eternal bliss. In other words, those who are born of God are eternally secure in the hand of Jesus. And those who are born of God must endure to the end to be saved. That's in the scriptures. And so the question arises today, how has God planned or ordained for his people to persevere in the faith to the end so that he can perfectly fulfill the promise that he has for us, that we shall be secure in him and that none shall be lost? That's what the Bible says. The Savior, the Messiah, his desire is that none shall be lost and be eternally separated from God. This morning I want us to focus on a crucial part of the answer to that question, namely that God has ordained us to be related to one another in such a way that we can actually help each other fight the fight of faith. And we need to do that on a day in and day out basis. The biblical answer for this is what John Boholski already read this morning from Hebrews chapter chapter 3, he says, "See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." How can we? We don't want that in our lives, do we? But we want to, what's it say, encourage one another daily. Wouldn't it be nice if we woke up in the morning and we said, the first thought to our mind was, how can I encourage my sister in the Lord? How could I encourage my brother in the Lord? Does that ever cross your mind in the morning when you wake up? Well, in this verse, and continue, it says, as long as it is called today, so that no one may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, that subtleness that seems to creep into our lives, we have come to share Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence that we had at first. Do you remember when you first became a Christian, how zealous you were for the Lord? For me, it was back in, again, share my age a little bit here, and I hope Debbie Marvin doesn't mind because we're about the same age. I think she has a couple months. She is. I didn't say her age. I just said about we're about born the same year. Okay, so but she's younger than me. She is. So, but back in the 80s, that's when I became a Christian in college. Oh, by the way, I had a list of things I was going to share about Debbie. I'll get to that a little bit later, though. Okay, but in this verse, we learn that God has appointed a means by which He will enable us to have confidence to the very end, confidence in Christ. And how do we do that? By gaining Christian relationships which help each other to the promises of God, to remember the promises of God, to escape the deceitfulness of sin that so often creeps into our lives unbeknownst to us or unknowingly to us sometimes. Exhort each other day in and day out. Stand fast. Put the whole armor of God on, as Paul talks about in Ephesians. Doesn't matter if you're a child or in junior high or senior high or a college student or a single person or a married couple or a widow or widowers. It doesn't matter. We all must find a group of people who are going to encourage us in the faith, who pledge themselves to each other to fight the fight of faith, protect each other from the subtle encroachments of sin that are so surround us on a daily basis. I'm not saying here that you cannot be saved without belonging to an organized small group. Yes, you can. People on islands, or different parts of the world, God has spoken to them in a dream or a vision, and they become Christians without any influence of other people sometimes. But then we need to seek out that group who are going to help us. And if we do not, if we have the opportunity to be in a small group and to learn from each other, and we choose not to do that, well, in a sense, we are neglecting this means of grace in our lives, and that can be very dangerous to our souls. So my goal this morning is very simple. Motivate each of us to belong to a small group of Christians. Even within the church, I'm talking about the church, but I'm even talking about smaller groups within the church who can exhort us and challenge us. And we see in 1 Samuel chapter 23, those verses I read, about Jonathan going out to David. It is a simple and profound illustration of what needs to happen for each of us as we continue to fight the good fight of faith. See, David is going from one place to another in the wilderness, about 30 miles south of Jerusalem, trying to stay out of King Saul's way. Saul is the king of Israel. He wants to kill David because he thinks David is a dangerous rival to the throne. And that's typically how things went back then. In order to stay in power, you had to make sure you killed all your competitors, dispose of them. So Jonathan, Saul's son, loved David. And hears that he's in the wilderness. And he goes, the scripture says, goes down to strengthen his hand in God. This encounter between Jonathan and David illustrates at least four lessons that can help us as we try to encourage one another to fight the fight of faith. Number one is, I've talked about this already, everyone needs Christian camaraderie.
That's right.
Everyone needs that. The deepest saints and the strongest leaders need Christian comrades to strengthen their hand in God. David was deep. David was a strong warrior, and yet David needed Jonathan. Christian camaraderie is just not for the new recruits. It's for every believer in the house of God. We never grow out of our need for ministry of other Christians. I enjoy going to the men's group on Wednesday night. We're on a break for a couple of weeks, but I've always appreciated the men who consistently show up every Wednesday, and it nourishes my soul. It strengthens me, it encourages me, and I hope I do the same for them. If you ever think you are beyond the need of daily exhortation in a fight of faith, then probably your heart is already being deceived in that subtleness of sin. You say, oh, I don't need that. Or if I go there, I'm not going to get anything from that. That's not a good thought. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a great warrior. He was no doubt superior to Jonathan in strength and intelligence and depth of theological understanding. But verse 16 says that Jonathan went out, strengthened David's hand in God. Don't ever think that a person is so strong and so put together or so spiritual that he does not need to be strengthened in God. Don't ever think that someone is so far above you that you can't be God's instrument in their lives to strengthen them in their faith. Everybody needs that. Charles Spurgeon, a.k.a. he was always called the Prince of Preachers, spoke for many Christian leaders when he wrote, "Some years ago I was the subject of fearful depression of spirit." Now think about this. This is a man who has volumes and volumes of sermons that you can read about, and he says that I was also unwell and my heart sank within me. Out of the depths I was forced to cry unto the Lord. Just before I went away for rest, I suffered greatly in body, but far more in soul, for my spirit was overwhelmed. And under this pressure, I preached a sermon. So even under that, he was still trying to preach sermons. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine. He preached a sermon from the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is how he felt. He says, I was as much qualified to preach from the text as I expect to be. Indeed, I hope that few of my brethren could have entered so deeply into those heartbreaking words. I felt to the full of my measure the horror of a soul forsaken by God. Now that was not a desirable experience. That's an understatement, isn't it? I tremble at the bare idea of passing again through that eclipse of the soul. I pray that I may never suffer in that fashion again. So this is the man who, when he had a funeral, the streets were packed with people who wanted, as he passed by. I mention this to drive home the point. The greatest of saints, the most valiant warriors like David, are not above having their hands strengthened by another. They need that. As a matter of fact, when the devil attacks those sorts of great spiritual leaders, and their need is even greater that their hand would be strengthened. So the first lesson for our text is that you never outgrow our daily need for daily exhortation about God and God's Word. That's what I appreciate about my wife. A lot of times I'll wake up, I don't always have the best attitude. A lot of times she'll put her the Bible on smartphone and start, the scriptures. Someone will be reading the scriptures from some application. And that strengthens my soul, strengthens my hand. The second lesson is that strengthening a person's hand in God involves conscious effort. It has to be intentional. You just don't do it on the fly. You rise and you go down to Horus, just as Jonathan did. And Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horus and strengthened his hand in God. He made a conscious effort to do it. What a difference, as I said before, what a difference if people in the church would get up in the morning, they all woke up in the morning and they planned, how can I strengthen somebody's hand in God today? Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. Jonathan did not accidentally meet David in the wilderness, though maybe that may happen. Sometimes we go to the grocery store and we bump into somebody and we have a small conversation or something, an encouragement conversation. That can happen. No, it says Jonathan planned and he went to David. The mark of Christian maturity is that you build into your life the intention and the occasion to strengthen someone's hand in God. You make it your intention to do that. Whose hand are you going to strengthen in God today? Whose hand are you going to strengthen in God today, this week, when you go out? There was some men, this is way back in the 1800s, or the late 1700s, a man named William Carey, you may have heard of him. He was a missionary to China, and he went there when he was probably the only believer among millions. But he was moved by God to go there. But before he left, he was in a small group of men that met regularly together, and he said, you know what, I have to be a missionary to the other part of the world. And so he left that group of men behind that were so important to his faith. And Samuel Pierce was with another man. He waited for over a year to receive a letter from Carey after he had went to China. Or left, excuse me, India. Forgive me for that mistake there. But when he came, here is what he wrote to Carey after he received a letter a year later. It says, "The account you gave us inspired us with new vigor, greatly strengthened our hands in the Lord." And he went on. It's quite a long, lengthy letter. But you get the idea. Those friendships for Jesus. Our relationships should continually point each other to Christ, shouldn't they? The third lesson. When we strengthen one another, we strengthen each other in God and not ourselves. We don't just go to somebody and pat them on the shoulder and say, well, you can do it, well, because I have faith in you. Well, more it's about having faith in God working through us. There's a difference between Christian camaraderie and all the support groups and the therapy groups and the self-help groups. I'm not trying to discount them. I believe there's value in that. But the whole point of Christian camaraderie is to point each other to Christ. Not just to man or for man's help. That's kind of a paradox in a sense, because on one sense you're saying, I need you because you can help me in my faith with God. But what are you going to say to that person? Well, you say, all you need is God, really. Well, our words, our actions, they should cause me to depend on God more. Every Christian group that exists ought to exist to strengthen each other's hands in God. That's why Jonathan went down to see David. But the final question is, how do we do this? How do we go about doing that? Well, we see what Jonathan said to David. He said, do not be afraid. He's speaking about his father. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. How did Jonathan know this? Well, of course, Jonathan and David were close bosom buddies. I guess I can use that word. They were close friends. And so it's hard not to imagine that David had told Jonathan at some point that he had been anointed king. Jonathan knew that. So the way Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God was to remind him of God's promises to David. Saul could not succeed against David because God was with him. So Jonathan strengthened David's hand in God by reminding him of his destiny before God and with God and the purposes of God in his life. And so it is with us, isn't it? We strengthen each other's hand in God by reminding each other of the promises of God that are especially suited for our needs. If I'm talking to Lily here, and she has a lot of questions about her future, and I try to encourage her, yes, keep listening to God. Keep getting your training. And the Lord will guide your hand in that. And that's true with a 15-year-old or a 55-year-old. Any questions? Does that make sense? Seems like a good thing to do, wouldn't you say? Because we're all on that journey together, right? We're all on the journey of spiritual maturity before the Lord. But we cannot do it ourselves.